Okay. Page 55. We'll read it, okay? 1, 2, 3. Bless me to perceive all that's wrong with the seemingly good things of this life. I can never get enough of them. They cannot be trusted. They are the door to every pain I have. Grant me then to strive and serve with happiness of freedom. Okay. This is still medium capacity persons. And this is where you recognize that the things that seem to be going well are not. Okay. And I suggest a corridor going, a hallway going into the middle-sized room, okay? So going into the glass room, going into the mirror room, there's a corridor from the room before, which we haven't got to yet. And I suggest windows, and you're looking out, and you're looking out at something. And this is a meditation that comes from the Abhidharma Kosha. It's very beautiful. It's called Midupa Gomba. And basically, you look out the window, and you try to imagine all the good things in your life 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. Okay? All the things you think are great, you look out and you see them as they're going to be. So, you know, if you're attracted to some other person physically, you're looking out and they're aging, you know, and you see them how they're going to look 5, 10, 15 years from now, and imagine how they're going to look, and you see, and they will look like that, you know. Then you look out, and there's a meditation part there where you try to imagine all the food you've ever eaten, you know, like mountains of food, you know, and all the crap you've ever crapped from that food. And, no, really. And you just look out, and you realize that this is not pleasure, you know, that there's no end to it, you know. You can't get enough. Chepe Mingom means it doesn't matter how much you eat, like you're still going to be hungry in a few hours, and it doesn't really matter what you eat, it's still going to turn into crap. And then if you really saw that your groceries for a few months piled up and the crap's for a few months piled up, it wouldn't seem so wonderful, you know. It's literally mountains, tons of food you've eaten already. And it's gross, and you're supposed to... Midupa Gomba means meditation on the gross. Midupa means gross, okay? Ugly. And you even, they say, see the city that you're living in and advance it in time. Like, see New York City, how it will be 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 500 years from now. And everything, they say everything ruined, you see? All your friends' bodies, old, wrinkled, ugly, all the place you live in, broken down, dusty, rafters fallen in, walls fallen down, you know. And when you do this in the Abhidharma, you start here. It's called Tewa, at the Tewa. And if you want, you could stop in the corner and do that way, okay? And you open a little piece here, like an open wound. Like I had a friend who had cancer, and they had this open wound that never would heal. And it was just open all the time. And you imagine like an open hole right here, and you can see the skull. You can see the white of the skull, and it's like oozing and pussy, and you just open up a tiny hole right here. And then when you get it clear, you open it up a little more, you know, and you start opening it up to see what it really is. You know what I mean? And it's just like rotting. The skin rots away here. And this is supposed to be a good antidote for desire, okay? And then you just slowly do your whole skull and all the bones, and then you keep going like that, and then you do your clothes like are rotting off and falling apart, and then you keep going, and then you spread it out from your body, and the wood of the floor is getting old. This place, how it will look 10, 15, 20 years from now, especially if you don't get any money to fix anything. And and it's just rotting, and then the wood is rotting, and then you move out to the wall, and the walls have fallen down, and, you know, the good people of Reading Township are all dead, and the trees have fallen down, and the ponds are rotting and the fish that used to live in them are all dead. And it reminds me of the day after that movie, you know. When I saw that, I said, oh, wow, McDupa Gumba. And then you keep going out and you do it. They say until you reach the ocean. It's a very powerful meditation. It's in the Abhidharma. And then when you reach the ocean, you dry it up and you let the fish die. And then you see their skeletons there. And then you just finish it like that. The whole world, including you, is just rotten and ruined. And this is the way all good things happen, especially work on the things that you're attracted to. You know, like another person that you're attracted to, or, you know, some position. I used to be very attached to my position at work. And then one day, I was reading the history of the people who had lived in my building. If you work in New York, it's a really good meditation. They don't even know. You know, I know who lived in Leon's house. It was Joe D'Alessandro, who was Andy Warhol's star, who's now pumping gas somewhere. And, yeah. And he was this big, handsome guy, you know. And now he's out pumping gas somewhere, and he's old and he's ugly, and then we don't even know who lived there before that because they're dead. Oh, I do know. That was the parish house of a Christian church, which is now the synagogue next door. And the whole congregation went to Staten Island for a picnic on a ferry, and the ferry sank. And they all died. Like, almost every person died. And there were just a few left, and they sold it to the synagogue. And then they sold Leon's house. And these are the stories of the buildings you live in, you know, and think about it. And there'll be a time, people struggle to get a place like that. And then there'll be a time when people can't even remember who was there. And what's the use, you know, what's the use of wasting your whole life to get a place like that? And then just die, you know, and then people don't even remember who was there before. I don't know who was there before the Christian people who sank on the ferry, you know. And that's the story of everything. It's like that. So you have to think of all the things that you're attracted to in this life: your parents, your family, your job, your own mind, and imagine them rotting and falling apart. Is this what's the point? You know, you're just trying to be depressed or what? You know, there's two kinds of karma. We talked about it in Washington. There's dirty good karma and there's pure good karma. Okay, dirty good karma is what has produced all the nice things in your life, and dirty good karma has one very bad problem with it, is that it wears out. Okay, so how does it wear out? By enjoying the thing, you see. So every minute you have of the thing, you're killing the thing. You see, it's very ironic. You know, every moment that you're enjoying something, you're using it up. So the longer you have a close friend, the more you've used up of them. You see what I mean? Every day that you spend with them, you're using up a day of them. And it'll wear out, and then you'll lose them. You'll be separated from them. If a good thing has been created by that kind of karma, you must lose it. It must get old. It must get rotten. You must be torn away from it. And the purpose of this hallway is going to be to think about that, okay? And that's the verse before. We'll read it, okay? Actually, we did read it, right? So just realize that all the good things are like that. All the good things. Don't put your hope in them. Yiten mirung means you can't trust them. They're going to die. They're going to rot. They're going to degenerate. And your own body also. Because all of those things, the sakche nyerkendengi pumbo means it has been created by dirty good karma. Dirty meaning it wears out, okay? What's pure good karma? Pure good karma is karma you do with a knowledge of emptiness, and it has this quality of perpetuating itself. It's self-perpetuating, and that's why a Buddha field can go on forever, okay? They don't wear out, you know? It's not like the longer you're there, the worse it gets or something like that. It just keeps rolling because they know how to make it roll, because they reinvest the good karma, okay? Like, this is, if you get some money, give it away as soon as you can. And then when you get the karma back from that, give that away. And Buddhas know how to do that in such a way that it perpetuates itself. It's the difference between fusion and fission or something like that. Like there's a point where you could reach in an atomic reaction that you get more energy out than you put in, so it'll go forever. And I remember they were working on it at my university when I was studying there, and they were worried that they would succeed because it would just burn through the earth. And so they were holding it up with magnets, you know, and they were trying to keep it in the air because if it ever dropped on the ground, it would melt to the earth because it would just eat, it would feed on whatever it touched. And they were afraid it would go down into the center of the earth and blow it up or something. And I understand that when they first set off the first atom bomb, they weren't exactly sure it wouldn't do the same thing with all the atmosphere. So anyway, what you want is fission of a... You want that. You want, karmically, that's the difference. You know, one of it is like gasoline. You know, the more you burn of it, it makes a big mess and it wears out. And then the other one is like fusion, and that is, it just feeds on itself bigger and bigger, so it perpetuates itself. So that's the difference between that's why Buddhas don't get old and ugly and wrinkled and things like that, okay? The karma which they're producing, we don't even call it karma. Well, what do we call it at that point? Merit and wisdom. They call it the two collections of merit and wisdom, okay? Like, even the name gets changed. They don't call it pure karma, really. I mean, the Abhidharma does, but the higher schools don't call it. They call it the collection of merit and wisdom, meaning you know how to keep it going indefinitely, and that's a Buddha paradise. But we're talking about the corridor, glass windows leading into the mirror room, and you're looking out, and you're looking at all the things that you like, okay? Your car, your house, your wife, you know, whatever is dear to you. And your own body, and your own mind, and your own hair, okay, and you're watching it fall apart, okay, and just watch it get old before your eyes, and fall apart, and wake up to what's really going to happen in 5-10 years, okay, and you look through the window and see that, and then your idea about what you want in your life will change, and you'll go into the mirror room, because that the idea there is that. Okay, I don't want to have this bad karma anymore. You know, I don't want to have that kind of karma anymore. And you're trying to see how you could change the karma into something more pure. And you're not going to collect that kind of bad karma anymore, the dirty good karma anymore, okay? You want to get out of that situation, okay? By the way, they also bring it back in the meditation. They bring it all back, and then they close up the hole, and then you get up. But it's still not very pleasant. Okay, so take a break, and we'll do a Midupa Goma when you get back. Okay. Okay, we'll start again. The glass room, I have to clarify. It's not just generally doing good things or being careful. It's about your pratimoksha vows. Okay. It's about your freedom vows, okay? In the glass, the mirror room refers specifically to keeping your pratimoksha vows. What are your pratimoksha vows? The mirror room is keeping your pratimoksha vows, okay? What are your pratimoksha vows? If you've never taken any vows, then at least you have refuge, right? So you have 12 commitments there, and you have the 10 commitments that all Buddhists have. Okay, no killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, etc. Okay, if you have lifetime layman's vows, you have 5 or more. Okay, if you have novice vows, you have 10 or 36. If you have full monk's vows, 253. If you have full nun's vows,
I think it's 345, but there's different ones.
No, that's more. Anyway. 364, right? Something like that. We figured out, you see that the full monk's vows, nun's vows have been broken, the lineage was broken in Tibet, and we figured out that if, but if you have full monk's vows and you change your sex, it becomes full nun's vows. Seriously. So we were looking for 12 volunteers, so I was thinking that's what he is. No, legally, that's the thing. Okay. Huh? I guess you could do it then, I think. Okay, you're going into the mirror room, which is your pratimoksha vows, okay? And the reason you want to get in there is that you realize that even the things that seem to be nice are not so nice about your life. And prove it to yourself by it's always good to be specific. Get to the corridor with the windows, look outside, see four or five things that you really like right now that are important to you in your life, like your own health or anything about your intellect or someone that you love or something that you own or a situation which is giving you comfort right now, like a good job or a relationship you have with somebody or things like that. And then look out the window and see where it's going to be in 5 or 10 years or 15 years, okay?